This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, Native American casinos have been a hot-button issue in Wisconsin this year, and Gannett Newspapers is publishing an in-depth series about them. We'll get a preview coming up.
But first, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Winter is daydreaming time for gardeners. As seed catalogs start piling up in mailboxes, visions of ripe plum tomatoes dance in our heads. Farmers, too, are ordering their seeds and thinking of the season ahead. What gets a farmer excited? Farmer Kristen Cordette looks at seed catalogs and mulls her options.
Here we go. Ooh. One of my favorite things to grow is actually not grown all that often by growers of my scale anymore, and that's shelling peas. There's some work to shell, but they're so delicious. And I think it's one of these things that kind of connects me personally to kind of an agricultural heritage. Like, I can imagine generations back eating these very same peas, and so that's really exciting for me. Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds, they're out of Missouri. Their catalog should be on every coffee table because it really is food porn. These perfectly poised heirloom tomatoes, perfect sort of romantic lighting cast onto the winter squashes. I mean, it's just hilarious in some ways, but I love it. When the seed catalogs come, one of the big questions I have is what varieties are gone versus what are new, because that's a big problem. Seeds do get dropped from the market, and it's not really the small-scale Wisconsin growers that seeds are generally being bred for. And so if they're not working for growers in the Central Valley of California, they're dropped from the market. And so some of my favorite seed varieties from years past, you're looking through catalog after catalog and saying, it must be here somewhere, but it's just not. Windsor broccoli. One of the best broccolis to grow in the summertime in Wisconsin, and it's gone. I can't find it. And I don't know what I'm going to grow instead. I've never found anything else that performed as well, so I've got to start trialing again and see what we can find. The beauty of the winter, I think, you know, when the fields are put to bed and we're finally sort of finished with our main season marketing and selling of produce, that's when I feel like I can wipe my desk clean and start really, really thinking about what I want to do the following season. It's a great feeling to just start over every year and feel like, you know, nothing's gone wrong yet. You can believe all of the promises that the seed catalogs make. It's this feeling of just 100% optimism. It's probably the only time of year that I experience 100% optimism. People say it's one of the most hopeful things you can do is plant a seed because you're invested in that outcome and looking to see it through. Ooh, lettuce.
Farmer Kristen Cordette is the owner of Blue Moon Community Farm near Stoughton. This episode of Wisconsin Life was produced in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Find more at wisconsinlife.org.
Sure, we're still in the deep freeze of winter, but it's never too early to start thinking about our spring planting. And in some ways, it's a nice psychological relief from winter. Marcia Carmichael is the Historic Gardens Coordinator at Old World Wisconsin. She joins us now to talk about heirloom planting here in the state. Marcia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. And spring is just around the corner.
It is. You're already planting, I bet.
Oh, absolutely. Right. As was just mentioned, the seed catalogs are spread out across the table, and we are dreaming of the perfect gardens that are coming up.
And as someone who works at the historical gardens at Old World Wisconsin, what sorts of seeds do you tend to look for?
Oh, I'm looking for specific seeds, often specific varieties that fit in with each of the heirloom gardens that we're planting out here. So we have different ethnic groups and different time periods that we focus on, mainly 19th century or early 20th century. And so it's a great quest to go through the catalogs and to search out particular varieties or to have people share plants that their grandmothers, great-grandmothers grew, that kind of thing.
I've heard the phrase heirloom seeds a lot, but what are we talking about? What makes an heirloom seed?
Well, to me, they're the chosen ones. These are the special ones that individual people have selected and carried on, collected their own seeds often through the generations, not hybridized. So they're not, when you plant a group of them, You'll get something that's true from seed or from if you take cuttings, but they won't all exactly look alike. They'll have more character and they have more charm than the sort of generic things when everything is, you know, exactly the same. So these are the lovely guys that just bring that flavor and that taste of history to life.
Now, when we talk about vegetables, do heirlooms taste different?
Some taste better than the modern ones that you may get at the grocery store, and some maybe not so great. Some of them, they're all interesting. sometimes people think that, you know, that with the nostalgia that everything should taste better, but some improvements have been made through the years, so some of the modern ones really are tasty, but often you can find some of those old guys that are just spectacular, and they remind you of, you know, what you ate as a child, or when you recreate recipes, you're thinking, this is it. This is exactly what my grandmother was eating, or something like that.
Marshall, what have some of your success stories been, some of your favorite heirlooms that you've grown and eaten?
Oh, goodness. I tend to like to munch along as I'm working in the garden, so I like things that I can just pluck off. The edible greens, things like nasturtiums that are pretty as well as tasty, leaves of basil or climbing spinach or something that you can put in a sandwich or just have a snack, things like ground cherries, different things that are available and ready to eat. So, because I'd rather be in the garden than spending time in the kitchen.
Now, one of the things you've been experimenting with is the joy of combining herbs and flowers with vegetables in the garden. What do you like about that?
I love it because not only do you have that added beauty of bringing color and fragrance into a patch of vegetables, for instance, but often they serve as companion plants. So some plants really get along well with particular other ones. They either repel insects or other critters, or they just make the plants happier, so when they grow in combination. And what's cool about that is that the Germans have been doing that for, a couple hundred years at least. They found that if they put different ones together, sometimes it was just a happier situation. And plus, at the end of the day, when you look back at your garden, it looks so much prettier because you've added texture and colors and things to it.
And what are some good combos?
Well, I think everybody's familiar with basil and tomatoes, and that's for a reason. It's not just that they taste good, you know, in the kitchen, but they also get along well in the garden. Summer savory and beans. Cabbages, things like dill and rosemary and sage and thyme, all the really highly scented herbs tend to repel the cabbage moth so that you don't have as many bite holes maybe in your cabbages. Lots of different things. Of course, onions are really good to repel aphids around a lot of different plants, and sometimes when people are planting things like nasturtiums, they do them to attract aphids away from some of the other plants. So it sort of depends what your pests are and, what you're looking to improve the flavor of.
Now, we can take our plants and give seeds or cuttings from plants and pass them on to people. Is that, do you think, a way to sort of honor history and also maybe special significance that we have?
Absolutely. It's the most wonderful way. To me, that's the finest gift you can give. Not everybody wants to give a growing plant to someone else. It's a lot of responsibility to take on a new, family member and a plant. If it's something that you can present to someone and explain to them how to grow them so that they'll be happy with them, this is great. Maybe include a recipe or make a bouquet out of, scented flowers or your particular favorite plants from the garden. But people brought them when they came, immigrants came from Europe, they packed up things like, a hunk of peony root and a bit of rosebush and things, so they would have something that they had grown in their homeland, and so we can continue that on and keep our memories going. What we remembered as children and what our great great grandparents remembered as children, and those are the special plants that then we can pass along to the next people.
Well, supposing we don't have someone to pass these things along to us, how do we get started if we want to do our first ever heirloom garden? Where can you buy these seeds?
Oh, I would say in the summertime you can, or in early spring, you can visit some of the local farmers markets for plants that are already hatched. If you look into any of the local stores that carry seeds, so many of the seed catalogs, although many specialize in heirlooms, a lot of the other ones, because heirlooms are finally receiving great attention, a lot of just run-of-the-mill seed catalogs have heirloom seeds in them. So it's really fun to look through and discover all kinds of new plants, new old-time plants that you can grow.
So what heirloom varieties would you recommend to a beginner?
Oh, goodness. I guess I would say what is it that you'd like to do with them? What would you like to eat in the kitchen? How would you like your garden to grow? If you wanted to share with children, you might want something that can be picked continuously through the season. So things like edible greens and some edible flowers, maybe beans that you can continue to pick, something that will keep you going back out to the garden. And then there are those other ones that you would grow so that you would anticipate that later in the season they would be ready for harvest. So you kind of keep taking yourself back out to the garden. And I'm big on pet and sniff, so if there are fragrant plants in the garden, I love petting them. And, besides nibbling, you can pet and just enjoy all of the senses.
Oh, it's a wonderful preview of spring. Martha, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Marcia Carmichael. She is the Historic Gardens Coordinator at Old World, Wisconsin.